Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129. Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Kerry Weber.
And we're back. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129. I am Kerry Weber, along with Father Matt Malone, and we are speaking with Father David Stewart, who is a Jesuit in ministry in London and America's foreign correspondent in London. And we are talking about the Brexit. And so we're talking a bit about some of the political turmoil before the break, and I wonder, it's sort of hard to say yet because this process of pulling themselves out of the European Union will be a long one. But what are the implications on the day-to-day lives of people in Great Britain because of this change? I know you were talking earlier about Northern Ireland. Right now, the border is very porous. You know, the biggest change of going from one side to the other is sometimes the color of the street signs and the money. So you wouldn't even know you crossed a border in most cases, but that could very well change. And for a lot of people who work across the border or who go and visit family, this could be a big deal.
Briefly, the situation now is that nothing has changed and there's no difference visible.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has changed because the process of, as I said before the break, the process of leaving the European Union hasn't happened before. It requires technically the triggering of the much vaunted Article 50 of the Lisbon Treaty. The concern at the moment, really, or the issue at the moment, is when's that going to be triggered?
Right.
It looks like the Westminster government wants to delay that for the meantime, and I'm not quite sure how it happens in the States, particularly in the presidential election year, but in August our politics does tend to go very, very quiet. Everybody's off on a beach somewhere.
Our seems to be the opposite this year.
Well,
and it's getting very loud.
Absolutely fascinating to be here and watch that. It's such a contrast. But secondly, these issues, so many of these issues, such as the Irish border issue, and don't forget, just potentially the Scottish border issue, we won't begin to see any difference, really, until initially when Article 50 is triggered. And the estimates, and I think the actual provisions of that article are for a two-year process.
Right.
So very little practical will happen for at least 2 years. I don't think that you'll be travelling through Berwick-upon-Tweed or Carlisle on the English-Scottish border and have to pass, machine gun posts and barbed wire
on
the border.
Sure.
But it does raise, again, this is part of what's so fascinating.
They're not going to rebuild Hadrian's Wall or something, right?
Well, there was a wonderful story in the London Times a few years ago when some very, very English, I think I can say this, very, very English, former army colonel had written a letter. There was a debate about whether public money should be spent in restoring Hadrian's Wall as a tourist attraction.
Uh-huh.
And this ex-army colonel who'd probably served in India or something wrote in saying, but nobody's asking the question that really matters. If we spend all this money, will the damn thing work?
You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel. You can join the conversation at 888-322-8465. That's 888-3-CATHOLIC. We are talking British politics with Father David Stewart, America's London correspondent. And I wonder if we could shift gears a little bit and talk about, of course, you know, Americans, it's always about us. So what this might mean for us, right? So, you know, we have this so-called special relationship between the United States and the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is a unique collaboration in terms of military and in terms of diplomacy in the world, which has been the case since the Second World War. And we also have this presidential election happening in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be interested in what people in the U.K. are thinking about that.
Well, I think there always is a need for us to review that whole question of special relationship every now and again, because my sense, having lived in the US in the past on a couple of occasions, my sense is that that seems to mean more to us in Britain than it does in the UK. In the U.S., I should say.
Because it might be a way to that Britain kind of punches above its weight.
Possibly these days, yes. Although President Obama was quite prepared to cite the special relationship when he made his own intervention into the Brexit debate prior to the vote, an intervention that wasn't that particularly well received. Quite a number of people on phone-in radio stations, for example, and on the web were quite prepared to criticize President Obama for having intervened. Sticking his nose into another country's affairs was the way it was interpreted by some. Mm-hmm. However, if there is a special relationship, then surely he's entitled to do. That would be one of the aspects you would expect of a special relationship. I think there may be some very interesting implications for the US in the matter of trade. Now, there's talk under the surface, it's not getting much headline time at the moment, about the whole TTIP program and process, and I'd be the first to admit I don't know the ins and outs of that too well. Mm-hmm. But when President Obama warned the British people, now when would this be? Was it back in May?
I think it was, early May.
That the United States, looking ahead, would want to negotiate trade deals with blocks rather than with individual countries, and a Britain that had left the EU would be, his words more or less, were back of the queue. It was significant to some commentators in Britain that he used the word queue and not line. Which suggested that this had been thought out in advance.
He wanted you to understand.
It was pretty special in itself.
Itself, it's a mark of a special relationship, I suppose. So US-UK trade may look very different in the future, depending on how they handle the parallel negotiation that presumably has to take place as Britain disentangles itself, for example, from a single market.
Well, I've read some stories of corporations being hesitant to take up new business ventures in Britain. An Indian company was meant to buy a steel factory there, and then with the thought that this might move into that England might pull out of the EU, or has chosen to do so, would add all sorts of import-export taxes and challenges to the business, and they decided this was no longer for them, which left many of the people employed there without work potentially in the future.
I think we just have to wait and see. There's quite a lot of scare stories, and since part of the campaign on both sides, as I've argued in my column for your journal, we're quite prepared to cite what became known as Project Fear.
Right.
It's been rather hard to separate out what was fact. However, there are stories that some companies have delayed at least investment.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, as far as I know, I stand to be corrected on this, but nobody, as far as I know, has pulled out. There were rumours that one of the large banks, HSBC, I think it was, were going to shift several thousand jobs elsewhere. Centres like Frankfurt in particular,
right.
Paris as well, are keeping their eye on this situation, and I think, you know, just making sure that they've got a few office blocks ready just in case jobs move. Interestingly, there has been some move from the City Council of all places of Edinburgh,
mm-hmm.
in Scotland, the capital of Scotland, which has, and this I find is not very well known, has a substantial financial services sector. Edinburgh is quite a significant player in the European financial scene. They are beginning to make overtures to some of the bigger countries, saying if it all goes sour for you in London, there's no need to go to Frankfurt. Come up here.
Come to Edinburgh. Yeah. That's interesting. And, of course, and a lot will, in terms of the UK-US relationship, a lot will depend on the outcome of our own election in November. And, I mean, this is an extraordinary election in American history, certainly unprecedented in many ways. How are people in Britain viewing the U.S. presidential election?
Well, that's a big question. I can't speak for all 62 billion English or 5.5 million Scots on this.
Not even the 5.5.
But, and I've got to be very delicate here. After all, I'm a guest in your country.
Of course.
But having said that, I think we spent a great deal of the last year scratching our heads and rubbing our eyes at the Donald.
Right.
your man actually came to Scotland. I don't know if this made you a media, but he came to
Scotland. He has a golf course there or something? Yeah.
He has one golf course. He's bought the Turnberry course on the Ayrshire coast, which is one of the Open Championship venues. Notice, of course, that that golf major is called The Open.
The Open.
Not the British Open.
Not the British Open. I learned that quickly when I moved to London.
So he rather confirmed some of the fears, of not fears, puzzlement, really, that most Brits were feeling when he was asked on camera to comment. This was just after the vote. It might even have been the day after. He was asked to comment on what had just happened in Britain. There he was in Scotland saying they voted to take their country back, which was one of the catchphrases of UKIP. But no, they hadn't, because he was in Scotland, not in England. Right. The distinction clearly hadn't occurred to him.
Right.
So that might be symptomatic of the general puzzlement we feel. I don't think many of us fully understand quite what happens here anyway in any presidential electoral cycle.
Yeah.
We have nothing equivalent to the primary season. We certainly have nothing equivalent to the vast sums of money that are spent. We are developing something, I think, more and more equivalent to the ad hominem politicking that happens that's not particularly
edifying. We saw some of that during the Brexit, didn't we?
We saw quite a lot of that in the Brexit. And maybe we're heading in that direction too. Maybe that's a byproduct of the internet age.
Yeah.
And who are the players to be watching in British politics these days as the new government moves forward?
Well, clearly the Prime Minister May, Theresa May, who's been an insider.
Only the second female Prime Minister.
Right? Only the second, and retiring Prime Minister Cameron was not slow to point out in the House of Commons on his last day at Prime Minister's Questions, PMQs, which is very popular over here, I gather, that on that score, at least, it was Conservatives 2, Labour 0, nil, none. But, you know, she's been an insider. She kept her powder very, very dry indeed during the Brexit debate. She was known to be a Remain candidate, but I can't recall a single instance of any public talk, any public speech. She kept herself very much in the background. So clearly she's going to be an important figure. One interesting feature to watch for is whether she decides to go to the country, as we put it, to have an election. She's not obliged to.
Right.
We don't vote in prime ministers in the way that you vote in presidents.
Right.
We vote in a party. And strictly speaking, we don't even do that. We vote in candidates who happen to belong to parties. So it is for the party that is most able to form a government, usually means the party with the most seats, to go to the palace where the Queen goes through the ritual of asking them if they can form a government. And so they go back to Downing Street. So that since the new legislation of 2011, the Fixed-Term Parliament Act, the party that is in power at the moment can stay in power for just under 4 years. However, Theresa May decide to go to the country. If she does, that would most likely be in October, in order to give herself a mandate for a fresh 5 years. And that would have implications for everything we've talked to up to now. The US relationship, trade, as I say, being probably the most important dimension of that. The Scottish issue, the Northern Ireland issue, and clearly Brexit.
Well, Father David Stewart is the London correspondent for America and a Jesuit who works in the United Kingdom, and a Scot, we should add.
Deo gratias.
You can follow all of his coverage at americamagazine.org, and of course you can see his column every few weeks in America, the National Catholic Weekly. Father David, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Delighted to be here.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to shift gears from British politics to American politics with Leila Brusco. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.